The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and team management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now, live from the Peyton Center at Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And it is back to football week here in Chicago, and this is a Bears town. We kick it off doing it upright tonight here at the Peyton Center, the annual get-together for week one of the NFL season. And we wish everybody a good Labor Day and a major, major Labor Day gathering of season ticket holders kind enough to join us tonight here live. Best turnout I've seen. Way to go, people. Way to go. And we should expect nothing less from the best fan base in sports. Good evening, one and all. Pleased you've joined us here tonight. And we're joined with our special guest tonight, President and CEO Ted Phillips, General Manager Phil Emery, and the head coach of the Bears, Mark Trestman. We'll start with the coach. We ran into each other off the practice field earlier today. And coach had a question for me, thought he had something on my mind. And I said, hey, it's game week. It is week one. He goes, you're telling me. So it's time. It's ready to roll. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, we've got an excited football team, no doubt about it, Jeff. These guys have worked extremely hard over the last 5.5 months. They've had a good 3-day weekend. They came out and worked hard today. They were very, very focused. There was not a lot of distraction today. Everybody was locked in. We got a good hour and a half on the field and some meetings in, and we'll give them off tomorrow to get them rested up, and we'll take it one day at a time this week, and we'll show up on Soldier Field ready to come out the gate fast.
And all your guys who have been saddled with some issues health-wise are starting back now. You got Henry Melton back out there. You've got Earl Bennett back out there.
You've
got DJ Williams, yep. And Jonathan Scott. So yep. As healthy as you've been probably since the start of training camp.
Yeah, they'll all work this week, and we'll see where they are at the end of the week. DJ worked today. Earl ran some routes, took some reps in practice. Henry worked today. And Jonathan Scott moved around. So we've got the whole week, and we'll take it one day at a time here and see where we are on Friday at the end of practice.
6:32 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, and this is the Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's. Phil Emery, you got your turn today with the media, a very well put together presentation. What are we talking about, 35, 40 minutes? You broke it down. You broke it down today for the Bears.
We had a good time because we want to provide information to our fans. We want our fans, the greatest fans in football and in sports, to understand our thinking process, all the thoughts in the evaluations and the process behind all of our decisions. We want you to be part of it, so we are. We're gonna research and prepare ourselves for any of those press conference situations so that we can do that. The media has been great, and they ask great questions, and it's been a very good situation.
And the composition of the 53 was your gist, including making some very good, eloquent points about the veterans, the 10-plus-year veterans that are on this roster, which is never a guarantee for anybody, obviously, but those guys are all playing at a high level. But you broke down exactly how you went through this process and what your plan is moving forward.
Yeah, the first thing I wanted to do today in talking to the media and in talking here today is just to honor and show respect for our veterans. Somebody like Patrick Manley, who's been with the organization for 16 years. You know, what a great pick. What a great selection by Mark Hatley, you know, in 1998. And I was sharing with the press that I happened to be in for my job interview as an area scout with Bill Reese, at the time the director of college scouting for the Bears, and he asked me to evaluate the picks, and that was kind of my job interview. He wanted to know, you know, what I saw and whether I had the skills worthy of being a scout. But he kind of set the table a little bit. He told me a little bit about each pick, and he said when he got to Patrick Manley, he said, hey, this is our best pick right here. This is the one with most value. This guy's going to be a 10-year long snapper in the league. Well, as I told the press today, well, he's almost doubled that. He's on his way. So, yeah, what a great pick. And just talked about the veterans that had 10 or more years. And Roberto Garza, going into his 13th season, who I was with in Atlanta. And in Atlanta, we had a conversation that he wouldn't play very long because he didn't have an ACL. It just proves that it's a little hit and miss at times because Roberto's still grinding away. And obviously Charles and Lance with both 11 years and great veterans, great leadership. And, you know, we could never finish that list unless we talked about Julius Peppers. Mm. A man that I have such great respect for. To see a guy of that caliber, 111 and a half sacks in his NFL career, put out the type of effort that he does in practice, to chase Matt Forte 40 yards downfield, to turn around and run downfield to make sure that he can minimize a gain, even in a non-contact practice, to minimize the gains of somebody like Brandon Marshall or Alshon Jeffrey, just tells you what kind of pro he is. And he has such great, quiet leadership. You know, I can remember, I'll point one thing out to the fans, and both Henry and Julius may be mad at me in the morning for talking about this, but Henry said something a little off the shelf last year when we were getting ready to play the Lions. He kind of antagonized the OC for the Lions and said a few things. Well, it was Julius Peppers who let Henry know that that's not of the standard of the Chicago Bears, in his quiet way. He does a lot of good things for our team.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to listen to a man like that? Certainly, what a great career. Ted Phillips, wow. That's all I got to say is wow. Halas Hall, it's pristine. It looks tremendous. What a job. Not only for the football team, but for everybody who works in that building every day. It's just a whole new, fresh coat, new chapter. It's all coming together in a new direction for the Chicago Bears. But what a great job in the remodel of Halas Hall.
Thank you, Jeff. And what it's really all about is about doing everything we can to put a winning team on the field. Phil takes care of the personnel, coach takes care of the team on the field, and part of my job is making sure that they have the kind of facilities and everything they need to be successful. So this offseason, we renovated, we added on to Halas Hall. The players got a lot out of it. They have an expanded weight room, an expanded athletic training facility. We have a new dining facility that seats 100 with a new kitchen. We've got significantly more office space in literally every department. We've added conference rooms, meeting rooms. We've added the best in technology everywhere so that the players, the coaches, the personnel department have 90-inch screens in virtually every room and smart boards. And we're definitely set up for the next 15 years. We were here for 15 years, and it was time to do a whole overhaul. We've added a complete new TV studio, which is probably on a par with some of the local TV stations here, that's going to help our business efforts and creating more content for all of you to enjoy, both on TV and the radio. And we also added an event center, which can work in different configurations, from meetings, presentations, to sit-down dinners. So we're really excited about what we can do and add value to the fans and our business partners and the team. So we're excited about it. And the field that you're sitting on has actually just been laid about a week or two ago, I think. And that also is a state-of-the-art surface that should serve our team well.
Lots of good things to talk about. We'll continue. First, to check it.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, general manager Phil Emery, team president Ted Phillips, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Palmer's got to hurry. 2-1, gets the snap, looking left, back on three. Back shoulder fade, left side. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Joe Anderson on the 6-yard catch. That was execution. Beautifully done by Palmer and Anderson. Yes, it was. Joe Anderson, a 4-catch preseason wrap-up against the Browns. He's made the 53, a 16-play, 9-minute preseason drive. That was something, with a quarterback really just off the street. It's the Bears Play of the Week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Jeff Joniak with Phil Emery, Ted Phillips, and Mark Trestman here on the Bears Coaches Show in front of a live audience of season ticket holders kind enough to join us on this holiday inside the Peyton Center. And that drive was, it was never ending, but well executed. And that is something that Phil brought up today, just how you had to do two things in 1 week last week to prepare two young quarterbacks. And you and your staff and the guys invested themselves to get them ready to execute the way they did in that game.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jeff, I just wanted to thank everybody for coming. It's unbelievable to have a crowd like this tonight. I'll go on to answer the question, but it's very much appreciated by all of us. We had a great week last week in terms of the things we had to get accomplished. We wanted to make sure that everybody got ready to play in the game. We also knew that our starters would not be playing, so we wanted to get work done as well. And our coaches really split up duty last week to make sure we could get that done. Matt Cavanaugh and members of the offensive staff did a good job of getting Jordan ready and getting Trent ready to play quarterback and learn an offense in a week and a half, which was excellent. Pat Meyer did a good job of getting the line ready. Skip did double duty. Skip Pete at the receivers, and Mike Groh and Carson Walsh split up the wide receivers. Skip with the running back. So it was a great team effort on the offensive side of the ball. And we did the same thing defensively. Mel split up the staff to some degree, and we were able to coach everybody up and get them ready. And it was just a great job of executing a plan and then going out in a preseason game that people think is meaningless. And there's nothing meaningless about going out to Soldier Field and trying to win a game. There's nothing meaningless about guys who are on the bubble trying to make the team, and there's nothing meaningless about guys who didn't make our team that it got a chance to put some really good football on tape and hopefully have a chance to catch on with another team. So anybody who thinks that fourth game of the preseason is meaningless is not right on a purely football basis. And the coaching staff did a great job of getting that done, and players went out and executed. It was a good way to finish the preseason.
Also, from your perspective, every second counts, not only because it's a new staff and a new situation, but I'm assuming you'll always take that same approach, no matter if it's your first year or your 10th year.
Well, that's right. I mean, everybody on that team last week who was on it, those 70 guys and change, they all deserved an opportunity to make it in the National Football League. The priority was getting our football team ready for the season. We felt we did that by giving our starters a lot of work all 3 days and executing plays and working on things that we would need in the weeks to come. So it was a good week. It was a week that doesn't guarantee us anything, but it gives us a chance starting in week one.
Phil, you made a trade today. You couldn't talk about it at the time that it kind of hit the wires a little bit. But tell us about Dante Rosario and why you brought him in.
Dante's a player with a really good experience base in the league. He's been, when he's had the opportunity to catch the ball, he's been very productive. He's had 99 catches and over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's a very versatile player in terms of kind of that move tight end or H-back, F tight end, however you want to label him. In terms of he has some upside to block on the line from the move position or from the fullback. But to catch the ball or run routes from a wide variety of alignments. And the other upside to him is that he has been a very productive special teams player. He comes to us with 23 tackles and 3 forced fumbles on teams.
Hey, Ted, from your seat at Hallis Hall, can you give us something in terms of what you've enjoyed watching, the experience of watching these two men work together?
I got to tell you, Jeff, this is my 30th year with the Bears, and I'm more excited this year than I've been in a long time. And it has to do with these two gentlemen next to me. You know, Phil Emery's second year as our general manager, and what he brings to the table is he's total strategic vision. He brings a sense of urgency every single day about trying to make this team better and to win. And Coach Tressman, communication skills, unbelievable. In the short time he's been the head coach, after replacing Lovey, who was here for 9 years, to be able to galvanize the team, do things his way, and have them believe in what he's trying to accomplish, at the same time put together a coaching staff of leaders of men, not just the players on the field, but he cares about every single player, coach, and staff person as individuals, has been really a treat, and I can't wait for Sunday and the season to get started.
Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, Thursday, September 13th at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network. Snap is back to Rivers. Pressure coming. Head down. There he goes. Torrey Wooten gets to the quarterback and finishes the job. To left, Chargers territory out of the eye. Snap, play fake. In trouble. Head down. He goes. Spilling in from the right and hammering Rivers right directly in the back with Shea McClellan. Highlights from the Bears' win over the San Diego Chargers at Soldier Field in week two of the preseason. Sample of what's been a competitive battle for the starting defensive end job opposite Julius Peppers. And one of the highlights of the preseason brought to you by Tempur-Pedic, back at the Peyton Center here at Hallisaw with Ted Phillips, Phil Emery, and Mark Trestman in front of some loyal Bears fans. A huge turnout here at the Peyton Center. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Season ticket holders who can't wait. So let's pick it up there, because we can talk about offense all day long. And before the show got started, Tom Thayer and I and the chairman of the board, George McCaskey, were sitting here. It took 22 minutes, Mark, for us to start talking about the defense, which is playing at a high level, and they've got some superstars over there. So, I mean, you got to be excited to see what that bunch is going to do for you.
Well, you notice we deferred in the last two games.
Yes, I noticed that. Good choice.
Mel Tucker's done a tremendous job, Jeff, of, following in the footsteps of some very, very good coaches. We've all been fortunate enough to walk into a locker room with a culture of guys that knew how to work hard and a good group of men. So as a coaching staff, we've felt very appreciative for the players that were already in the locker room and the way they had been coached over the years. Mel has put together a good staff. Mike Fair and John Hoke are still with us and from last year, and have done a great job of the defensive line and the D-backs respectively. We brought in some young coaches, some coaches that have a big upside in terms of their knowledge of the game and ability to have a succession plan, as hopefully Mel gets an opportunity and Aaron and Joe get opportunities along the way. And if we have success, they will. And we're hoping that happens. And then the players have really taken ownership. You know, we've kept a system in place that has been a good one over the years. Mel's put his spin on it. We'll continue to allow it to grow. The leadership has spread out among the team with a new year, and guys are taking responsibility and accountability for the success of our defense. And I think, just like offensively, we've seen on the defensive signs that we can be as good or maybe even better. And the hope is, and the goal is to even be better. And that's a tough act to follow, but the guys are locked in, you know, ready to try to get that done.
I think, Phil, you brought up a great point at your news conference today, you know, mentioning a guy like Lance Briggs, for example, putting the tape onto that Oakland game. And I ran into him to the locker room today, and, there's always this term that I've used to describe how he sets a new line of scrimmage, as well as any linebacker in football, and he gets super small. And that game, you put on a tape, and he made a play behind the line of scrimmage. I had to roll it back about five or six times. I'm trying to figure out how he got there and slithered through to make a play, but he's still doing that at an elite level.
Yeah, you know, Lance has a fantastic combination of athletic suddenness and very high-level football instincts. You know, he sees it before it happens. He reacts with such great speed, and he still has that unbelievable short area burst to get to the ball and finish the play. And just not only that play, Jeff, but there were a couple other plays where he snaked, you know, through the line of scrimmage for a guy his size. You know, he's close to 250. He won't tell you exactly what he weighs, but he's close to 250. And for him to make himself small with the type of burst he has and the reaction speed makes for a guy that, you know, we all want to go watch. You know, I mean, there's a lot of our players on our team that I would personally plunk the money down for. I'd start right there.
There you go. And I tell you, and as a play-by-play announcer, you never get tired of calling the plays of the great ones. And you walk in that building, and you see the franchise's dedication towards remembering, keeping that memory alive. Never more than now. That's going to be a museum over there for players, fans, clients of the Bears sponsors to enjoy. But most of all, for the people in it that see it every day. And from your perspective, Ted, how much does it feel great to know that you got legendary players like Lance, seven-time Pro Bowler, Charles Tillman, arguably the best cornerback in Bears history. You've got Julius Peppers in line with that continuing tradition. We saw what Brian Urlacher did for all these years. From your perspective, honoring those players that have done great things and having it displayed is a significant part of this franchise.
It really is, Jeff. And the current players that you mentioned, They appreciate that. They appreciate the tradition, the legacy of the Bears, what all the great players before them have done and what they've meant to this franchise over the years. And so for us to be able to honor them, not only in our lobby with our Hall of Fame plaques, but in our new event center studio, we call it the Midway area, where we're in the process of finishing up some interactive displays where business partners and fans who visit Hallis Hall will be able to come in and with a...
I got to cut you off. Sorry.
What are you doing?
We got to hit traffic and weather together. And welcome back. Listen to that crowd. Can't wait to hear you on Sunday. You guys going to make a lot of noise on Sunday. 7:05 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. And this is the Bears Coaches Show. And we are pleased to be joined by everybody tonight. We are taking questions from
all right, hold up, guys. Before we head into that bar, before
we are having some technical difficulties right there, but we're taking questions. And a young lady asked what the most important position on the football team was. And we've heard, Mark, you often say, not only in football, but in sports, it's the quarterback. And how about this for a nugget? Jay Cutler is the only remaining starter on an NFL roster among his class of 13 quarterbacks drafted in 2006. We could break that down many ways. Let's take it from a coaching perspective, a general manager's perspective, and a team president and CEO's perspective, because if you miss on a quarterback, especially in the first round, it does set your franchise back because of the amount of money you put into it and the direction you take. But take it away, fellas.
Well, you know, obviously we're evolving into a quarterback-centered organization because, as Coach said during the interview, you know, it's the most important position on the team because it does all start with the person that gets the ball first. He's the field general. He has the perspective of the team out in front of him. We want him to be the leader of the team from that perspective. But yeah, you know, the decision-making process that you put into that quarterback is the most important one you're going to make as a franchise, because that's what you expect that person to lead your franchise. And what you just said about Jay is a testament to Jay's number one is physical skills, and number two is competitiveness. You know, it takes a lot of perseverance to play this very physical and tough game, and Jay has certainly paid a price to play this game. He's certainly won his share of games, and he's, you know, certainly been a leader and led to many victories during his tenure as a quarterback.
Mark, there are many ways to go about it, but, you know, you said when you got here, protecting the quarterback is going to be top on the list. When you went back and researched what he has gone through in that regard, just trying to stay on his feet back there, both from college and currently, I mean, did you gain a measure of respect for what he's gone through?
Well, I already had it because I saw 4 years of him at Vanderbilt, and he took some of the most vicious hits a college football quarterback has ever taken and wound up being SEC Player of the Year. That alone says a lot about him, and certainly Mike Shanahan saw that, and the people in Denver saw that when they drafted him. And, you know, toughness is not going to ever be an issue and hasn't been an issue with Jay, and it's probably the number one quality a quarterback has to have to play the position. If you have a great arm, if you're mobile, if you have an inventory of passes, if you're smart, that all that stuff is great. But if you're not tough, none of that stuff matters. So it really starts with being courageous and being tough first, and then working backwards to the skill sets that you need on and off the field to play the position. And certainly there's no doubt that Jay has that one skill set. And over the last 5.5 months, I've obviously seen that he has a lot more than that.
All right, we'll pick up that conversation after another check at 7:08.
The Bears Coaches Show with Mark Trestman, Phil Emery, and Ted Phillips, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
And at 7:13, back here at the Peyton Center, a great place to be on Labor Day Monday with, I don't know, close to 2,000 of our closest friends, Bears season ticket holders, here with Mark Trestman, Phil Emery, and Ted Phillips. The Bears president and CEO, and I didn't get you a chance to answer before we went to the break. We were talking about the quarterback position, and I threw out there that Jay's the only one of his class in 2006 to still be starting on an NFL roster. It says a lot about the hit and miss of the position and just what those quarterbacks go through, especially in a market like this. From your perspective, when you analyze that position as what it means to this team and any team in the NFL, how do you do it?
Well, you know, we've had a long history of, before Jay got here, of going through quite a number of quarterbacks. And I think all the points that Phil and Coach Trestman just made about Jay and why we acquired him in a trade. Obviously, we didn't draft him, but you can't miss. When you're paying a franchise-type quarterback, whether you're drafting him high, whether you're paying him in free agency or paying them after a trade, you can't miss on those kinds of players. They can impact your team for years to come. And right now, you know, we brought Coach Trestman in here. He's an offensive mind. He's going to do a great job on both sides of the ball, but his expertise and his offensive mind are going to make Jay the very best quarterback he can be.
And protecting him is critical, obviously, and so a lot of resources spent on the offensive line, both in the UFA market and through the draft. And Phil Emery, people are scrambling out there to try and figure out when's the last time two rookies started, two rookies starting on the right side, you know, coming up with all these different scenarios. It's happened, of course, and people have lived to tell about it, but are you intrigued by what has transpired here over the course of camp with the offensive line and what it seems like we'll look to be opening day Sunday at Soldier Field with two rookies potentially starting? You guys have not given us the green light on the starting lineup just yet for competitive reasons.
You know, I'm intrigued because of the people they are and the players they are, not to the fact that they're rookies. I mean, both of them are so unique in personality, and they're so well together. I mean, they've been attached at the hip, really, since the combine. They've known each other and developed a relationship. They're really good for one another. Their strengths and weaknesses bounce off of each other. And, you know, as I said earlier today, what matters to me is that they both have the upside athleticism and skill set of an offensive lineman in the intangibles, the toughness, the smarts, the persistence that we're looking for, so that if they do start, I think we're all very comfortable with that because of those two areas, skills and intangibles.
And, of course, we're talking about Kyle Long, the right guard right now, and the right tackle, Jordan Mills, who I found to be just a real joy to talk to. Talk about a great kid, personality, exuberance, just loving the fact he's even getting this opportunity, Mark Trestman. And then you've got the other side of the fence with the veterans, with Roberto, who's been here. You've got Matt Slauson, who walks and talks the part of a tough guy. He looks like a nasty guard coming out there wanting to hurt people. And then Jermon Bushrod, who comes from a similar system in terms of at least the running game from the New Orleans Saints, a self-made player from Towson State with the tutelage of Aaron Cromer. What a mix of people here.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable room from a standpoint of the quality of men that are in there. Phil hit on a little bit with our young guys, with Kyle and with Jordan, but the room is a great mix of personality, of high intelligence, both football and otherwise, and great character. It really is, and Aaron's got a heck of a room to work in every day. It's led by Garza, but with quiet leadership from Bushrod and Slauson, and young leadership, guys who are learning how to do it the right way from the guys on the other side of the line. And that's not just where the offensive lines, that's where it starts. But, you know, you've got Martellus Bennett involved in this and our tight ends. Matt Forte's involved in this in our line room at times, in our protection, you know, packages and in our protection meetings. And it's a great place to be each and every day because it's good people that are really working hard for all the right reasons in a great environment.
And if the old axiom of steel sharpens steel, then they're getting a heck of a workout because of that defensive line and that front seven.
That's
for
it.
The Bears. So you've mentioned that many, many times. Great guys to learn from, that's for sure. Let's step away again. And welcome back to the Peyton Center here at Hallis Hall in front of a live audience of Bears season ticket holders. They've been very interactive They've been outstanding, and we're pleased to be joined by them tonight here, along with head coach Mark Trestman, general manager Phil Emery, and the president and CEO of the Chicago Bears, Ted Phillips. It's 7:23 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. The Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's, is here. Members have access to events, contests, opportunities to meet Bears players, chances to win Bears tickets, free pizza, and much more. You can sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. And I'll start with Ted because, man, this sport continues from things that go beyond the white lines and what you're trying to build towards a championship season, but everything that's involved now with the football organization and the NFL in general, even building up the course of this week, there's something going on every day this week, building up to Thursday night's kickoffs and then the Sunday opener. Aren't you amazed? You said 30 years you've been here. It's just amazing what's happened now.
Well, it's not only a big business, but fans demand more. You know, with the media 24/7, we're always looking to find more content, more events, more activities, so that it seems like you folks are a great example. Our season ticket holders have a voracious appetite for everything Bear-related. So we're going to do our best to keep providing new and fresh content in all kinds of different platforms, so you can get your fill of the Bears and keep cheering us on Sundays for victories.
And a big year, too, to celebrate. Celebrate the 63 championship team, the retirement of number 89, Mike Ditka. That'll happen as well this year. And with that, you know, again, that incorporates what you have really sent messages to players all the time when they walk into that building and they realize, wow, this is the charter franchise of the National Football League. It means something to a lot of guys.
It does, and you know, part of, since George McCaskey's been chairman, part of his direction has been, let's reach out, bring back our Hall of Famers, get them more involved. That was part of the whole process of, and the thought process behind retiring Coach Ditka's number. We're working with other great Hall of Famers like Dick Butkus and Gail Sayers and trying to get them more involved. And you can already see how appreciative they are about us reaching out to them and getting them more ingrained into the Bears organization.
Mark, from your perspective, how do you then translate that to the current players?
Well, I think that, you know, just bringing Coach Ditka in last week, that, you know, when players can touch a champion like Coach Ditka, I mean, that's a positive thing. When they can hear the words of a champion, a championship coach, and a championship player, that has value, and that creates substance between the existing team and the past. It brings them together, and there's so much history. There's so many positive things come when an alumnus comes by to talk about the traditions of the Bears. I think it's just part of the connection that we need to have, our players need to have, that this is not just about 2013. This is about, you know, 1920 to 2013, and it's all part of what gives us strength each and every week to go out and play.
Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. And the September 8th opener against the Bengals, brought to you by Verizon. The first 25,000 fans entering Soldier Field receive a Bears Verizon flag. The Bears thank Verizon for their support as a Hall of Fame partner. Remaining moments of our program, 7:26 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Okay, the Bengals are coming to town. Mark, what can you tell us? I guess we got to start with that defense and that front seven, arguably one of, if not the best, in the National Football League.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We've been into them all day and throughout last week, and their front sevens is as good as any in the league, and it's going to test our ability to win at the line of scrimmage, both running the football and protecting the quarterback. It's a good place to start. We've been practicing for 5.5 months against one of the best front sevens in the league, so we've had good practice at that, and we're excited to find out where we are at this point in the season, which is the beginning, obviously, and we expect to do well, and we've seen signs that we can, and we expect to show up and do well on Sunday.
Yeah, third-year quarterback you'll be facing in Andy Dalton. What do you know about him?
Well, I know he's got all the tools. I mean, he's certainly got intangibles. He's got the ability to move the football team. I think they're a well-coached offense with some big play players. They expect to do well, and they know this is an important year for their football team as well. So our defense will get all they can handle. Special teams will be a big part of this game on both sides of the ball. Both teams have great returners, and big playability. So it'll be, the cover teams will be big this week as well. And both offensive lines will be facing great fronts. So this is a heck of a matchup and a great way to start at home with the Cincinnati Bengals.
We've heard and we've seen the smile. The smile is back on Devin Hester. You'll get your first crack at coaching him in a regular season game. And there's a buzz when he takes the field, no question. If you can give us some insight on how he has blended in with you and your system and Joe DeCamillis and what you found learning a little bit about Devin.
Well, it started the first day. His attitude, the way he is now, was really the first day we sat down and talked. And, you know, we made a decision that, you know, I'm just a big fan of Devin Hester's and have been for a long time. I'm on the edge of my seat, too, every time he touches the football. So let's let him do that exclusively. And if he can be involved in eight plays, he doesn't even have to touch the football, and he can make a difference in field position and where our offense starts. They don't have to kick to him for him to create an advantage. In the wind and Soldier Field, if he's out on the field for eight plays, that could significantly impact the game, whether he touches the ball or not. And we're hoping he gets a chance to touch it, but whether he does or doesn't, that can influence the game dramatically, because they'll kick it out of bounds. Kicker will shank the kick. They've got a directional kick to him. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to do in the wind. So there's a lot of possibilities. And Devin's been exceptional from the first day I met him. And maybe it's our University of Miami connection. I'm not sure. But
He had to go there. It's always about the U, isn't it, Phil?
It's the U.
If it helped, that's good enough for me. He's just been outstanding. He's shown great leadership in his role. He's been positive each and every day. And I mean, all the good.